This morning's title is The Son of Thomas. There was a Christian movement around 1980. Some of you guys remember, and some of you guys said, I was not born that time. No, good for you. You were too young. Yeah, I can see that. And it took the country by storm. It's a Christian movement known as the Promise Keepers. I was there once in San Diego, stadium filled with the men. And when the men sing on their heart out to God, it was quite an awesome sight. It started well with the power of the Holy Spirit, but started to dwindle. And while I was there, I noticed I was kind of several years behind other people who were into the Promise Keepers. And they started doing things to maintain the attendance level. They were trying to do it and maintain it with the human effort. Anytime, listen carefully please, anytime when God started and the human put their effort into it, tried to maintain and keep on going, that it will be the time when it starts to do the nosedive. You with me? Yes. And where's the Promise Keeper now? Yeah, they still get together, but it does not have the same power because the Holy Spirit is no longer behind. And they start to join, associate with the questionable denominations. And they say, well, they're Christian brothers. No. One of the examples is Seventh-day Adventists. And you may say, you mean they are not Christians? No, they are not. You mean that Dr. Ben Carson is not a Christian? No, he's not. You know why? Because anytime when you add Jesus Christ's death and resurrection plus human effort equal nothing. Salvation is done by human only. I am the God only. What? That was a God. I did that totally wrong. Make sure you guys are aware. Thank you. Listen. Anything you add into the God's work, the finished work of on the cross is nothing more than heresy. When Promise Keeper add those people, when the Promise Keeper people add another group, trying to maintain the level, that's downfall. So their sizzle became fizzle. But our God always is the ultimate promise maker and promise keeper. It took 25 long years for the promise, his promise to come to pass, that he will give son to Abraham and Sarah. But God was faithful to fulfill his promise, and his promise never failed. If God promised that, I will meet all your need according to his riches and glory, he will. As I said many times, you don't get the Maserati or the Lamborghini, but you will get, you might get a Yugo. Or bicycle. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we are the one who walk away from God and often say, well, he's not with me. Hello, come back to him and you're with him. It is easy to overlook the meaning of the story of this chapter. An old couple having a child. Interesting. Guinness Book of Record, I guess. But nothing to write home about. It is more than that. We will notice that there is a very striking similarity between the birth of Isaac and the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will explain to you. Let's stop and pray. Father, it is truly a joy to come to your house and seeking you and desiring your guidance. We realize that we have nothing to offer to you other than our hearts. Even our, the faith in you is given by you. And we sing hallelujah to you and praise your holy name. Because you are full of love and mercy and kindness toward us. If anyone doubt, anyone ever doubted, all they have to do is just look at the cross. His arms open wide to receive us. Father, we are asking you to speak to us and align our heart to receive your words, knowing, understanding that you are the promise, not only a maker, you are a promise keeper. And you are always with us and to guide us and strengthen us and show us the way. Father, we are asking you to anoint the one who speaks and forgive his sins, for his sins are many. Father, we pray for the president, the Trump, and there is attack against him, enormous amount. I don't know where he is with you. From what I understand, he is a baby Christian. Father, we ask you to speak to him, guide him in such a way that he may do what is right in your sight. And same goes for all the politicians and judges in this country. They may not do the things that they want to do, rather they may do what exactly you have in mind. Father, we pray for our troops around the world, especially the ones in the Huntsville. And we also pray for law enforcement personnel and the firefighters who risk their lives for us, for our safety, day in, day out. We ask you to protect them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 21, Genesis 3. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. Get that, please. As he had said. And the Lord did before Sarah, as he had spoken. There he is. Yeah. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the said time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Well, look at yourself, Sarah. She was 9 years old. She was not exactly a young spring chick either. Isaac's birth was meant the rewarding of the patient. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 long years, folks, for their son to be born, and because it is through faith and patience they inherit the promise. Trusting God's promise not only gives us a blessing at the end, also gives us a blessing while we wait upon the Lord, because we learn to be patient. Patience brings hope. Hope brings a character. And in the end, it brings glory to God. Amen? Isaac represents the faith, and Sarah represents the grace according to Galatians 4:24-26. So Isaac was born by grace through faith. The birth of Isaac was miracles, and on the contrary to the nature. However, I find a bigger miracle than this, Isaac's birth. God himself took the human form and made himself lower than the angel and born of the woman as a helpless human body. Because he had to identify with a sinful human being, he had to identify with us and had to understand crippled spirituality by our sins. Through the atoning sacrifice of his sinless life, we find the only way to heaven. That is a miracle of the miracles. Amen? Verse 8, please. So the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman, her son, for the son of this bondwoman, shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. Verse 11. The matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has laid to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. Stop there. According to most reliable research done by the Bible scholars, Isaac was 3 years old when he was weaned. Some people say the age of weaning is up to 12 years old. I doubt that. Notice the conflict came from the Ishmael and from Ishmael to Isaac, from the son of the bondwoman to the son of the free woman. The son of this, okay, let me put it this way. Son of bondwoman is representing flesh, and son of a free woman representing deity. Then we may say, well, where did you get that? Remember, God promised to Sarai and Abram, that you will have a son. Am I correct?
Yes.
That is God's promise. But they could not wait. They want to get it done. So what did Sarah told Abram? It was not Abram's idea. It was Sarah's idea. Take that Egyptian Hagar and have a son. And I will call him as my own son. And soon as Hagar had the pregnant with the child, she despised the whole mistress. All of a sudden, there's a conflict, a jealousy going on. There's flesh side and the spiritual side. When we receive Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, we were nothing. Before we received Christ, we were nothing but dead spiritually, right? But when we receive Jesus Christ, we become born again, and the Holy Spirit comes in our heart. And all of a sudden, we have this born again spirituality. That goes against our flesh. Great place to take a look at is Galatians 4, chapter 4, please. Keep your finger in Genesis verse of Galatians, right before Ephesians in the New Testament. This is the reason why we should memorize the entire Bible at book name. You can find it so much easier. You there?
Yep.
For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. For he was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through a promise, which things are symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gave birth to the bondage, which is the Hagar. And for Hagar is a Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the Jerusalem, which now is and is a bondage with her children. But Jerusalem above is the free, which is the mother of us all. It is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate are the many more children than she who has a husband. Now, we brethren and Isaac was our children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, even so it is now. Am I correct or wrong? You tell me. In your heart, whenever you try to do the right thing according to the Word of God, like praying or reading Bible, the things happen in your life. Always disturbance comes along. You, all, entire day, nothing bothers you. As soon as you pick up the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible, the Word of God, only. there's a knock on the door, Jehovah's Witness come along. Or something happened. Somebody said, your husband or your wife said, can you get this for me? And you, like you said, go get yourself. Always something to disturb what you're going to do with the Word of God. Allow me to show that this is from the, whoever showed me that Romans 7 verse. I chose a New International Version because it explains a little bit easier than the, any other version in my opinion. For what I do is not it not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
We always have to fight against our fleshly side to be on the side of God. You with me on that?
Yeah.
There's constant fight between the old and the new nature. Unfortunately, old nature is often in control of our actions. The time comes when we have to make a decision as to which nature we are going to live by. We must make a determination to yield to the Lord in every matter. We either have to permit the Holy Spirit to move our lives, or else we have to go through the life controlled by the flesh. There is no third alternative for the children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Contrary to Ishmael, Isaac's birth is ordained by God. We can find a remarkable similarity between the birth of Isaac and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. First one. The birth of Isaac and the birth of Christ has been promised. God has said to Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And through Sarah. And he made that promise good. God also said to the nation of Israel, virgin will shall conceive and bear a son. Okay, tell me, which verse? Which book? Anyone?
Isaiah.
Who said Isaiah?
Isaiah, yeah.
Isaiah chapter what? Isaiah chapter what? Come on. There's a prize. Huh? Isaiah 7:14. A virgin will shall conceive a son when the day came that Jesus was born into Bethlehem. It was a fulfillment of prophecy. Both births was promised. Second element that I see, the both births were, there was a long interval between the promise and the fulfillment. As I mentioned, the 25 years passed from the time God promised until birth of Isaac. For the birth of God, Jesus Christ, we can go back many, many generations. God had promised that they would come to one in David's line. And there was a promise about 1,000 years before Christ was born. Third element. Both Isaac and Jesus was named before their birth. Well, they are not the first one. Abraham and Sarah was told that they are going to have a son and they are going to name him Isaac. Why Isaac? Because Abraham laughed when he was told that he is going to have a son. Oh yeah, 100 years old. When at the time he was 90 years old. And Sarah also laughed. And when the God said, why is she laughing? She said, I did not. Really? You want to tell that to God? Keep your finger in Genesis again and go to Matthew chapter 1, please. First book of the New Testament. I know some of you are thinking, wouldn't it be better, preacher, just put it on the screen? Right? How are you ever going to learn your Bible? Verse 21, and she will bring forth a son. You shall call his name, what? Jesus.
Jesus
is Jesus. I got it right. For he will save his people from their sin. Fourth element, both first were miraculous. Okay, Isaac's birth was a 90-year-old woman giving birth to the 100-year-old man. Birth of Jesus, man had nothing to do with Mary, because it was done by the Holy Spirit. Book of Mormon says, Holy Spirit had a sex with Mary. You know, you can pretty much mark my word. Mormon book is pretty much riddled with the sex. God had nothing to do with, the human man had nothing to do with Mary's pregnancy. Fifth element. Both sons were obedient to their father, even unto death. In next chapter, chapter 22, we'll find out Isaac was tied and he was about to be sacrificed, but he was obedient to his father. What about Jesus? He went to the cross without fight. Only time we see any resistance, even the small resistance, was Garden of Gethsemane. He's pleading to the Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass by me. But not my will, but your will be done. Do we say that? When you want something so bad, whether it's your job or your money, whatever that is, when you want so bad, do you actually say, not my will, but your will be done? It takes a spiritual man and woman to do that. Last one. Miracle's birth of Isaac is the picture of the resurrection of Christ. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, how did you come up with that concept? Remember, Sarah's body is 90 years old. Her body is practically dead for any pregnancy. I saw the news that there was a woman who was a 73-year-old woman. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That she was pregnant. If that ever happened to my wife, she will put the gun on my head. And I will help her to pull the trigger. Out of death of her body that cannot be pregnant, she was pregnant. It was a God's miracle. Out of death womb, Sarah brought the Isaac. It was a foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, please. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Amen. Perhaps Abraham did not want to give up Ishmael. Well, after all, he is his son. He loved this child. And God says, kick him out. And kick out that woman too. And he realized that the son of promise and the son of flesh could not coexist as our carnal nature and the carnal character could not coexist. Galatians 5:24 says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with passion, his passion and desire. You see the bumper sticker, you still see it, coexist, right? With the half moon and the star and all these things and cross there. If you mention that to the Muslim people, Islam people, they will say, no, we will not coexist, we will dominate everybody. I said this, but I'm going to say it again. If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the moment you receive, Holy Spirit comes into your heart. Am I correct?
Yep.
According to the Word of God. Holy Spirit will not be a bunkie sharing your condominium in your heart with the demons. So anyone who says demonic possession of a Christian is a heresy. Am I making sense to you?
Yep.
God, the Holy Spirit will not share your heart with the demonic presence. So somebody is depressed. If the Christian is depressed and he's doing the dumb thing, just purely dumb things, don't say that first that Christian is demon possessed. You just declare the heresy. Be careful the way you say. And another thing, I'm going to give you one more caution to you. Don't judge people's salvation status. If that person said, I'm born again, leave it there. That person's action might declare, but just keep it in your heart. That person's action might declare that that person is not a born again Christian. If that person doing everything that what the world is doing, most likely is not. But don't say to that person that you are not born again Christian. That's something you have to ask God. The final judge of each person's salvation is God, not you, nor me. Agreed?
Yes.
We all need to make a choices each and every moment. And it is not easy to separate ourselves from the carnal pleasures of this world. But that is what the Lord wants us to do. The obedience and disobedience of the Lord is the difference between true believers of Jesus Christ and the carnal ones. We need to continuously choose in what God wants in our lives to please Him. Now, I'm going to ask and all of you, I don't know where you are spiritually, if you've been doing the things that the world has been doing, and you are no different than before, you have to ask yourself whether you are truly received Christ or not. I'm not going to declare that whether you're a Christian or not, but you have to ask, and you have to ask God. If you're continuously doing the things the way the world lives, then you check your heart, ask God. And if you're just simply doing it because your sinful desire won, repent. Let's go down to verse 14, please. Abraham rose early in the morning and took the bread and a skin of water and putting it on her shoulder. He gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness in Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance above the bull shed. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the dead. Then angel of God called to Hagar out of the heaven and said to her, what ailed you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Verse 19. Then God opened her eyes. She saw the well of the water, and she went and filled the skin with the water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad. He grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. Stop, please. Abraham was a wealthy man. He could certainly provide a whole lot more than just skin of water and bread. He could give a caravan a load of the supplies. But he also realized that if God promised that he would take care of this kid and the mother. His promise is already done. He learned, so he decided to rely on God more than his own effort. Am I making sense?
Yep.
Don't think that Abraham did not have a heart for them. As a matter of fact, the descendant of Ishmael is an Arab nation of people. They are doing just fine.
God also provided them the oil. Entire world practically rely on them. Europe has a big mouth. But when it comes to oil, guess what they have to do? They wring their hand in front of the Arab nation, and they're at the mercy. One thing that I admit that what the President Trump did, let's not go to the whether I'm pro or anti. I had a problem with the previous president, every one of them, Republican or Democrat. Do you know in our country we have more oil than Saudi Arabia? Because of all this environment stuff, they choose not to get those oil out. In other words, we have the oil. It's like a, let me put it in our term. Let's say I have money. Not a whole lot. Let's say I have money. But I'm borrowing money from somebody else. Am I making sense? That's a stupid, isn't it? That's what we've been doing. During the time, Jimmy Carter time, when there was no gas in the gas station, there was a mile-long cars. Remember that time? Again, when the young people say that. Jimmy Carter, who is that? Who was the president when the earth was crusting? We were relying on the foreign countries for the supply of the oil. And they had war in their hand. How could they? Because God blessed them. Simple. Verse 22. Oh, one more thing. Haggai that represents the picture of the needs, spiritually needy people in this world. Why do I say that? She was spiritual. She was wandering, weary, thirsty, and giving up hope in despair. How many people in this world, when I read the news, it's like, okay, I don't read the newspaper, I read the news on the Fox News webpage. Same thing. It's full of bad news, isn't it? Always killing and lying to somebody. And they do that because they are in despair. They are weary and thirsty spiritually. When you have a chance, go to our church website. In the first front homepage, it will say, one beggar, we don't have anything to offer to anybody. Other than we, former beggars, found where we can find the spiritual water, living water, and where we can find the bread, the eternal bread, Jesus Christ. That's all. Alright, verse 22. And it came to pass at the time that the Abimelech and the Phicol, the commander of his army, and spoke to Abraham, saying, God is with you in all that you do. I'm not going to read the rest of them because it's pretty much blah, blah, blah. Note this. God is with you in all that you do. Let me ask you this. Come on, look at me. I know it's not pretty sad, but look at me. When other people see you, when other people see you, whether they are co-workers or your family or your relatives, when they see you, do they see Jesus in you? Or do they see you just another hypocritical Christian? Saying word, but not following what the word God says. Just because they are unbelievers, that doesn't mean they are stupid. They know what the Christian is supposed to do. They know what we should not do. Are you doing what the Word of God says? Or not? Think about it. Can they say, God is with you all in all the things you do? That's very important. That's a great example as a Christian. Here's a new name, excuse me, for God is introduced in verse 33. El Olam is the everlasting God. And Abraham already knew the El Elyon and the God Most High in Genesis 14:19 and verse 22. And also El Shaddai, God Almighty from Genesis 17:1. All right, I have three applications. I'm about done. You can go to Dennis. Slow down. First application. Trusting God's promise not only gives us a blessing at the end, but it gives us blessing while we are waiting. Patience brings character brings hope. Amen? Second application. We must make a determination to yield to the Lord in every manner. Every matter. You mean even the picking of whether I'm going to eat the cheeseburger or hamburger? Well, that's your problem. God doesn't care. But in one matter, you do what He says. Third application. Obedience and disobedience to God is the difference between true believer of God and the carnal. Amen? Search your heart. Am I living for God? I've been living for my own. If you've been living for yourself, why? As a born-again Christian, you know that. What does the world offer you more than what God can offer? He has an eternal life for you. He has a hope for you. He has a love for you. He has a mercy everlasting. Can you find anything better? Can you find anyone better than He who loves you more than He can? Stop chasing the world. Act like it. Live like it. Think. As we are about to take a communion, remembering what God, our Jesus, has done for you. His body broken for you. And His blood shed for you. Be thankful to Him and live like the children of God. Amen? God bless you.